Hello and welcome to the LifeSpring Family Bible number 68. I'm Steve Webb, your host. Today we'll be reading chapters 22 through 24 of the book of Acts. Let's begin. Acts chapter 22. Brothers and fathers, listen to my defense that I now make to you. When they heard that he was addressing them in Aramaic, they became even quieter. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated with strictness under Gamaliel, according to the law of our ancestors, and was zealous for God just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way, even to the point of death, tying up both men and women, and putting them in prison, as both the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me. From them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I was on my way to make arrests there, and bring the prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was en route and near Damascus about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. Then I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. Those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. So I asked, What should I do, Lord? The Lord said to me, Get up and go to Damascus. There you will be told about everything that you have been designated to do. Since I could not see because of the brilliance of that light, I came to Damascus, led by the hand of those who were with me. A man named Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood beside me and said to me, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And at that very moment, I looked up and saw him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has already chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a command from his mouth, because you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord saying to me, Hurry and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. I replied, Lord, they themselves know that I imprisoned and beat those in the various synagogues who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was shed, I myself was standing nearby, approving and guarding the cloaks of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Go, because I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd was listening to him until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouting, Away with this man from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. While they were screaming and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust in the air, the commanding officer ordered Paul to be brought back into the barracks. He told them to interrogate Paul by beating him with a lash, so that he could find out the reason the crowd was shouting at Paul in this way. When they had stretched him out for the lash, Paul said to the centurion standing nearby, Is it legal for you to lash a man who is a Roman citizen without a proper trial? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commanding officer and reported it, saying, What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the commanding officer came and asked Paul, Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? He replied, Yes. The commanding officer answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. But I was even born a citizen, Paul replied. Then those who were about to interrogate him stayed away from him, and the commanding officer was frightened when he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had had him tied up. The next day, because the commanding officer wanted to know the true reason Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and the whole council to assemble. He then brought Paul down and had him stand before them. Acts chapter 23. Paul looked directly at the council and said, Brothers, I have lived my life with a clear conscience before God to this day. At that, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit there judging me according to the law, and in violation of the law you order me to be struck? Those standing near him said, Do you dare insult God's high priest? Paul replied, I did not realize, brothers, that he was the high priest, for it is written, You must not speak evil about a ruler of your people. Then when Paul noticed that part of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, he shouted out in the council, Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope of resurrection of the dead. When he said this, an argument began between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, or angel, or spirit. But the Pharisees acknowledge them all. There was a great commotion, and some experts in the law from the party of the Pharisees stood up and protested strongly. We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? When the argument became so great the commanding officer feared that they would tear Paul to pieces, he ordered the detachment to go down, take him away from there by force, and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, Have courage, for just as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. When morning came, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink anything until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 of them who formed this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, We have bound ourselves with a solemn oath not to partake of anything until we have killed Paul. So now you and the council request the commanding officer to bring him down to you, as if you were going to determine his case by conducting a more thorough inquiry. We are ready to kill him before he comes near this place. But when the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, he came and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, Take this young man to the commanding officer, for he has something to report to him. So the centurion took him and brought him to the commanding officer and said, The prisoner Paul called me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you. The commanding officer took him by the hand, withdrew privately, and asked, What is it that you want to report to me? He replied, The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as if they were going to inquire more thoroughly about him. So, do not let them persuade you to do this, because more than 40 of them are lying in ambush for him. They have bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink anything until they have killed him, and now they are ready, waiting for you to agree to their request. Then the commanding officer sent the young man away, directing him, Tell no one that you have reported these things to me. Then he summoned two of the centurions and said, Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, along with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen by 9 o'clock tonight. And provide mounts for Paul to ride so that he may be brought safely to Felix the governor. He wrote a letter that went like this. Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him when I came up with the detachment and rescued him because I had learned that he was a Roman citizen. Since I wanted to know what charge they were accusing him of, I brought him down to their council. I found he was accused with reference to controversial questions about their law, but no charge against him deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed there would be a plot against this man, I sent him to you at once, also ordering his accusers to state their charges against him before you. So the soldiers, in accordance with their orders, took Paul and brought him to Antipatris during the night. The next day they let the horsemen go on with him, and they returned to the barracks. When the horsemen came to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. When the governor had read the letter, he asked what province he was from. When he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive too. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Acts chapter 24. After 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and an attorney named Tertullus, and they brought formal charges against Paul to the governor. When Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, We have experienced a lengthy time of peace through your rule, and reforms are being made in this nation through your foresight. Most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this everywhere and in every way with all gratitude. But so that I may not delay you any further, I beg you to hear us briefly with your customary graciousness. For we have found this man to be a troublemaker, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to desecrate the temple, so we arrested him. When you examine him yourself, you will be able to learn from him about all these things we are accusing him of doing." The Jews also joined in the verbal attack, claiming that these things were true. When the governor gestured for him to speak, Paul replied, "Because I know that you have been a judge over this nation for many years, I confidently make my defense. As you can verify for yourself, not more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship. They did not find me arguing with anyone or stirring up a crowd in the temple courts or in the synagogues or throughout the city. Nor can they prove to you the things they are accusing me of doing. But I confess this to you, that I worship the God of our ancestors according to the way which they call a sect, believing everything that is according to the law and that is written in the prophets. I have a hope in God, a hope that these men themselves accept too, that there is going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. This is the reason I do my best to always have a clear conscience toward God and toward people. After several years, I came to bring to my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings, which I was doing when they found me in the temple, ritually purified, without a crowd or a disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who should be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these men here should tell what crime they found me guilty of when I stood before the council, other than this one thing I shouted out while I stood before them. I am on trial before you today concerning the resurrection of the dead." Then Felix, who understood the facts concerning the way more accurately, adjourned their hearing, saying, "When Lysias the commanding officer comes down, I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion to guard Paul, but to let him have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from meeting his needs. Some days later, when Felix arrived with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. While Paul was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for now, and when I have an opportunity, I will send for you." At the same time, he was also hoping that Paul would give him money, and for this reason he sent for Paul as often as possible and talked with him. After 2 years had passed, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and because he wanted to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. So Paul was given a mock trial, put in prison, and now he's been held for 2 years in a Roman jail. Tomorrow is the second to the last day that we'll be in the book of Acts, and we'll find out more about what becomes of Paul. Until then, I'm Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.